And good morning. Hello and welcome to Wooden Spoons on CKEW 95.9 FM. My name is Ugo Nachibo and I'm here with community nutritionist Mary Jane Eason to discuss topics of healthy living, environmental issues, what's going on in our community, as well as other interests in this 1 hour show. On Wooden Spoons, we recognize that all things are related, and with learning and awareness, we connect the dots that make up our world. Every Friday morning on Wooden Spoons, we speak with guests on today's relevant issues, share nutritious recipes, and explore important topics with perspectives not found in the mainstream media. The time right now is 8:03 a.m., and I'm just going to give you the temperature as well. Temperature right now is 13 degrees with a high wind of 22 kilometers per hour and 30% chance of showers. Good morning, Mary Jane.
Good morning, Uganda. I don't like to hear any more showers because we had quite a few. We had our basement flooded a few days ago and with shuffling out water. It's been quite a season, hasn't it? We never know where what's going to happen next with the weather. This is called climate change. So I'd like to make an acknowledged statement that on Wooden Spoons that we are located on Treaty 1 territory, the traditional land and waters of the Cree, the Anishinaabe, Cree, Dakota, and Dene people, as well as the birthplace of the Métis Nation and the heart of the Métis homeland. We also acknowledge the Shoal Lake No. 40 First Nation and its territory for our life-giving water. So this morning, just to give a bit of a rundown what we'll be doing, we do have a guest this morning who I will introduce very shortly. His name is Adam Dasman, and and so we will be talking to him, and we will also be having some announcements later and a recipe to share, perhaps. And we'll see how everything moves along according to our schedule. And so I'd like to, at this point in time, say hello to our guest. Adam, are you there?
Good day. Yes, I am. Oh. Nice to hear from you, Mary.
Good. Could you tell me how to pronounce your name? I'm afraid I may have mispronounced it.
The last name is pronounced Jaman with a J.
Oh.
So in Ukrainian, D and Z together form one letter, and they make a ja sound.
Okay. Do you want to say your last name?
Jaman.
Okay. Thank you for that. And so I just want to to mention that you Adam, you live in the country in Duck Mountains, located between the towns of Ethelbert and Darland, which is about a 4.5 hours drive from Winnipeg. And Adam lives a unique lifestyle, which includes farming and living off the land while being in tune with nature. So this morning we'll be talking to Adam about his lifestyle, the type of farming he does, the crops he produces, and the unique area in which he lives. Welcome to Wooden Spoons, Adam.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, so I talked to you a couple of weeks ago on May the 23rd when we had a regular garden party, which is held every year near the end of May for many years now. I think this was our 16th garden party, and it was held again on May the 23rd. And I had an opportunity to talk to you that morning, and then I invited Adam to be a guest on Wooden Spoons, and he agreed. So I know, Adam, that it is a very busy time for you at this time of year, and I appreciate your being willing to join us this morning. So for starters, could you give us a description of the type of farm you live on and the general area where your farm is located?
Sure. First, I'd just like to say good day to all the listeners out there, and thanks for tuning in. My name's Atom again. I'm with 7 AM Farm. That's 7, the number, and then the letters A-M. So the land, I grew up out here. I was raised by two unique parents who raised us out here, self-sustaining. The land is very special to me. It raised me as well, I like to think.
So,
go on.
No, go ahead.
That's all I have to say on that one topic, I think.
Okay. Well, you know, there's something very unique about the area, for sure, as you described the various types of land where you live. And I understand that you live, you live in swampland, and you have dry areas, and you have bushy areas, and you have cleared areas. So could you give us an idea of what all, how that farm is? Like, this sounds like a very diverse place to live.
Oh, yes, it is very, very happening. So a lot of the farmers out here, a lot of it is just like cleared flat fields where 7 a.m. farm, we utilize as little as possible of space. So we work and live on about an acre, and then we own 160 acres, and the rest we have just left unattended or left it to nature to attend. So there's still the natural ecosystem that is happening, and we're not taking away from it or affecting it. We're just letting it be. So it, by that happening, there happens to be wetlands, dry lands, flatlands, hills. There's a little bit of every, all kinds of diversity in the land, in the life. So we really just like to let it be.
That is very amazing, because normally where people live, the land is pretty much the same. I knew I grew up in Fisher Branch, and I knew that we had, there was a lot of area that was not cultivated. And we had what we called was a stone ridge. We just named it that. And there was this, that kind of a low grassland where people could raise sheep. And there were a lot of stones. That's why we called it a stone ridge. We had huge stones. I don't know where they came from. They must have come from the some kind of other period in the Earth's life. And then we had bush. And so a lot of the pioneers that came there, they cut down the bushes to make places for their crops. And but we always, we still do have the bushes there on the land that my parents grew up on. And it's still being used, and it's still pretty much the same, which is something I'm quite happy about. But, yeah. So this is interesting. In your case, we don't have, like, I think we did have swamps. I do remember that as well. It was, we called peatland, but so you don't have a lot of land under cultivation, I understand, and you have and you sustain your life on that particular land and grow crops.
Yeah, in the so it all is how you want to do it. So a lot of what I do would be called more, today would be called more market gardening, would be a term that's kind of taken on more of like a hobby farm and the smaller scale non-grain farmers. So what I do is I grow food but not on a scale of like just grains or one item to be shipped off or to be just one crop. What I grow is a diverse food forest that feeds not just humans, but all living creatures that are in that area.
So what kind of creatures are you talking about?
Well, I refer to them as creatures. Some refer to them as bugs or insects. Mm-hmm. I like to try and change the way that people see or that we, so that we're not just using derogatory terms for things.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I like to call bugs, or what some people call bugs, I like to call them loves.
Love?
Love, yeah.
Oh,
because
amazing.
They don't actually bug us. They're not trying to bug us. What they're trying to do is live off of us and with us, and they love us.
Nice. That is very...
They love interacting with us. They love being around us.
So how do you know they love being around you?
Why? Well, because the term bug itself, like, it's bugging us.
Mm-hmm.
Really what it's trying to do is interact with us. It lives off of our bacteria and our organisms. It can eat it.
Mm.
So it's like an ecosystem. We are part of the ecosystem. We eat vegetables and animals and some loves even. And everything interacts with everything.
That's
kind of how I see farming and life should be.
Mm-hmm. Well, that reminds me, when you talk about bugs, my daughter, they went to a place in Toulon. They were on some kind of vision quest, as they called it. But she said this spider came on her clothes, and she took a picture of it, and she thought the spider was trying to communicate with her. And so the spider just stayed there, and she showed me the picture. It seemed to have sort of like red eyes, but she definitely felt its presence, and its presence and its wanting to be with her. I thought that was quite phenomenal.
Wow, yeah, that's very special.
Yeah.
And maybe the listeners out there should try that. Try and interact with the loves out there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all sorts of bugs. That's true. And cockroaches are not particularly welcomed. But I know that, like, in the country, we used to turn up stones and find all these. There were some very strange-looking beetles. They were black beetles with red spots. Have you ever seen those?
Oh, yeah, the red ones, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And even ticks this year are extremely abundant. And
yes.
A lot of people do not like the idea of ticks.
That's
but
true.
They, too, are a part of the biodiversity of this planet.
Mm-hmm.
They provide just as much as any other living creature.
Mm-hmm. But I guess you wouldn't want a tick on you. You would take it off, right?
I do take them off. I prefer not killing them, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I do kill them if, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
if I need to.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's an interesting way of looking at things, for sure. You're listening to Wooden Spoons, 95.9 FM on CQW 95.9 FM. And... my co-host here is Yugana Shigbu. Yugana, did you have any comments to make or questions to ask?
No comment for me. You know, I just enjoy listening and to your perspective. You know, I really enjoy what you talked about regarding bugs. You know, sometimes I just get scared, you know, just because of like a natural reaction to them, you know, but when I get the chance to get to know them, you know, whether it's ants or cockroaches or the praying mantis, you know, I feel a certain connection And with that, you know, sometimes when I'm having lunch outside, you know, I get visited by one of those worms. You know, and it's okay now. You know, I know cankerworm season is coming up in a couple months or maybe in 1 month. But yeah, I'm growing that connection to the bugs slowly but surely.
We have to spread the news around because the city of Winnipeg, I think it's the city of Winnipeg, and it makes me so irate. They're going to be spraying for cankerworms. Cankerworms, what can we say about them? Adam, have you got a good word to say about cankerworms and how they fit into the web of life?
It's not specifically, but all like living life forms, they at least all provide nutrient back to the environment. When they pass on and as they are living, they're providing the function of moving things, of leaving things, of creating things.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when there's more of them, they're performing some kind of function. They're either creating more balance or correcting some kind of balance.
That's a very good...
They're here to help. They're here to help us, okay, yeah. Everyone?
Yeah. Well, that's a very good concept. Whoa. I wish we could educate our city councilors a little bit more. It's because I... Well,
if anyone is interested in connecting more to the farm, I'm offering this year a package of produce from the farm once a month starting in July.
Okay.
It's delivered to your door. It's just $60 a month if you want to sign up for 1 month, or $150 to sign up for all 3 months. You're going to be getting the highest quality organic grown vitamins, nutrients, vegetables, food that you will experience.
And so how do people apply for that, Adam?
You can find me. Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead.
You can find me online on Instagram and Facebook at 7, the number, then the letters AM, farm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very good to know. Because a lot of people, they really appreciate getting organic food. And especially when the manner in which you grow it. So,
thank you.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk a little bit again about, we were talking about swampland, and I always found it a little bit scary because I used to hear stories of early pioneers who got bogged down in the swamp. And one story involved a horse that got sunk in a bog, and I can't imagine how horrible that would have been. And then I also recall a time when the peatland in the Interlake caught on fire. Because we had a lot of peatland. I was very young then, and there was a slow burn all summer long. You'd see the land burning, smoke coming out of the ground. And have you ever seen that sort of thing happen? Now we don't have any more peatland. I don't know what happened to it. People plowed it over or whatever. It's turned into, they used to make hay, grow hay on it, and then other more entrepreneur farmers, they started growing crops, and so it's all gone. But that's what happened. It caught on fire. Have you ever seen
that? Yeah, it's out. What's that?
Have you ever seen that, the situation of peatland catching on fire?
No, that sounds terrible.
Smoking. It would be smoking. It wasn't really burning. It was smoking, slow burn.
Oh, yeah.
And the ground, and it was smoking. It was just, I don't know. Anyway, that's my memories of it. And so now there is no more peatland left, because
we have to create more. It may take time, but we can do it.
Yeah. Well, people started growing hay on their land, and then they had cattle and everything else and things like that. Yeah. Could you tell us about the? I think you mentioned some of the crops you grow, but Maybe you could explain that and some of the implements that you use, because when you're growing crops, you have to do something to with the land, cultivate it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So we grow pretty much a lot of everything like that you would see in the grocery store. But one of my true interests and passions since I was a kid was that I saw that there was other colors of carrots, other colors of tomatoes that weren't so readily available in the store. So I grow purple carrots, red carrots, yellow carrots, orange carrots, purple and orange carrots together, white tomatoes, yellow tomatoes, orange tomatoes, purple tomatoes, black tomatoes, blue tomatoes.
My God.
And I never, as a kid, I never liked red tomatoes. I couldn't connect with them. I didn't enjoy eating them. But I found later on, as an adult, I enjoyed them. But I would have enjoyed, as a kid, the yellow tomatoes because they have a different texture and flavor. They're less watery and more tomato textury. So I would have enjoyed those if I found them as a kid, but I was introduced to red tomatoes, so I thought that that's what a tomato was. But there's thousands of different varieties of all these different vegetables that we know today.
That's interesting about the tomatoes, because my mother did not like tomatoes, but she used to do a lot of canning of tomatoes for the family. But she didn't like them herself. And I never cared for the other colored tomatoes, so I don't think I liked the looks of them. I don't think I like to eat a yellow tomato, but that's just me. I guess I have to be more experimental. But
maybe if you don't like the red one, maybe you would like the yellow one. And maybe if you don't like the yellow one, you like the red one. But people need to try to know.
That's true.
And they need to know to try.
Yeah. And how do you treat your land? Like, you have to hoe it, do you plow it? What do you do? How do you make it ready for growing crops?
So farming, I find, is a very evolving and always changing each season. So some seasons There is a need to till. There's a need to, if you need to create new area to work, it's more sometimes beneficial to till it. But I prefer not to continually till something or that area or land. It's more to create the space to then work it with your hands. So a lot of it is that I've done is with hand tools and the old way, and they work. They're amazing. These tools were designed for this, but we've lost kind of the ability and skill to use these tools.
You should have classes on your land and bring people there.
That sounds magical, and I would love to have something like that happen for sure.
Yeah, I think this could be a real opportunity where people, I'm not sure how that could all be arranged, but this would be a really educational experience for them. And this is learning how to take care of the land, which people don't know how to do as far as I'm concerned these days.
Right. A lot of I used to think that nobody cares, but really it's that nobody knows to care. You need to know about something before you can care about it.
That's a good point. Yeah. And so you do a lot of hand work. It is a very...
Oh, yeah. You also asked about the inputs and like how to keep the soil living and alive without store-bought fertilizers.
Mm-hmm.
So I use, there's a lot of different natural things you can create and use. I use, one of them is biochar.
Biochar?
So it's wood.
Oh.
Yep. It's any kind of, biochar is any kind of burned wood material. So you burn it, but you smolder it so that it creates more like charcoal. And it's what they use in countries like Africa, where it's like a very affordable source of fertilizer for your fields.
Well, there you go. So,
and also compost tea. So compost, everyone knows compost. You can apply that in the soil, but there's a method where you take compost that you created and you create a tea. You just soak about 2 shovelfuls of compost in a big bucket of water and you water your plants with that.
Ooh.
And it's a very effective way to get the nutrient and to utilize very little compost to get a lot of nutrient out of it.
And then what do you do with the compost after that? Do you throw it in the garden or you put it back in the compost?
I usually just throw it in the garden or put it back in the compost or keep just adding to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a compost.
It all goes back.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, I'm using a compost myself and it's getting pretty full and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with it. Well, I have to stir it up a little bit more. I think it has to turn into soil. But there's a lot of leaves in there and just all sorts of things. But and what sort of animals do you have on your farm?
Well, I was raised vegetarian, so we haven't had animals on the farm. Until this last year, I just got some chickens.
Oh.
Because I'm vegetarian, and I was raised vegetarian, and I have a lot of care and respect for animals.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see that there needs to be like a relationship. If I were to choose to eat meat, I would need to have the hunting relationship and doing it myself and getting the experience and the feeling relationship. I wouldn't be able to just go and buy it from the store.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that for sure. Yeah. I'm not a vegan because I do eat eggs, but I don't eat meat myself. And I don't want to anymore. It's just, I grew up, you know, we all grew up eating meat. But anyway, I understand what you're saying. And then you have a very unique lifestyle for sure and a philosophy of life. And most farmers, they raise their crops on their land to make a profit. Otherwise, they consider themselves to be a failure or a crop failure, whatever. But your philosophy is different, your philosophy about the land and your relationship with it. Do you want to tell us about that?
I couldn't actually hear that. What did you say again?
I was saying that you have a very unique philosophy with the land. And so most farmers, they raise their crops on the land to make a profit. Otherwise, they wouldn't want to be doing it. But you have a different way of looking at things when it comes to the land.
Yeah, I would say it's not easy what I'm doing. And it's not that I'm not rich or anything. I am working every day. And what's more important to me, though, is health rather than wealth, and creating not just my own health, but the health of the land that I work on and that I live on. So, yeah, there's a connection that is very deep, and I feel like it should be in everyone's life with every job. There should be this give and take. And a feeling of return. I really don't know how to express it. Like, you really have to find your passion and your dream and live it. That's kind of how I feel that farming for me is.
Mm-hmm.
It's my life. It's my style of life.
Yes. And it's good to have that as an example because I think the way the economic system works, the farmers today, it's very exploitative. So they have to continue to use fertilizer because, you know, they keep using they don't leave the land uncultivated for a year. They're always using it, so they have to add, add all kinds of other things to the land, like fertilizer. And maybe the fertilizers aren't the best kind of things either. Do you have a comment on that, on the fertilizer that's often used on regular farms?
Definitely. So it might be good to create abundance and large things, this fertilizer and these inputs, but is that going to create the best nutrient and the best food source for people? So like today's industry, tomatoes have been engineered so that they can not be, that they're resistant to bruises. They can travel a long period of time and stay hard. So they're breeding them to last a lot of time rather than be nutrient dense and the best source of food for us and fuel.
That is a good point to make. Yeah, that's very good. It's all the corporate view of things, for sure. And I think, you know, you have a very wise and in-depth relationship with the land and with the crops you grow. And you also were raised by very unique parents, I understand. So would you describe their lifestyle and the number of siblings that you had? And I understand that you have been homeschooled as well. Could you tell us about that?
For sure. So as I said, my parents wanted to raise me and my four siblings. Shout out to Mariah, Aura, Zen, and Echo.
Nice names.
And I had mentioned too that my parents kind of were living the hippie lifestyle, even though today kind of hippie, the term hippie might not represent as much as it did in the past. So my mom, she sewed our clothes and cooked our food and grew our food. And I observed her and learned from her growing food and gardening. My dad is a very mechanical mind person. He built our home and kept it all running. They homeschooled all of us and gave us a great, great lifestyle to learn and to be ourselves.
It must have been a happy childhood.
I don't have too much of a memory of a child, like as a child.
Okay.
But what I do remember for sure is very happy memories of like being in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And just being surrounded all the time by the sounds of nature and not the sounds of vehicles and alarms and...
Yeah, that is, I would say that is very like an indigenous viewpoint of the First Nations people when they lived on the land before settlers came. They had, I think they had a very, that type of relationship with nature. Maybe not so much.
I would agree, and I definitely really respect and love to honor that concept.
Mm-hmm. You also have knowledge of medicinal plants that grow in your farm. And I know that there are all kinds of you know, in my family tradition, some of the Dutch people that came over, the Dutch and the French, Ukrainian, they were those were some of the peoples that came over to the country in the early 20th century, and they were farmers and whatnot. They carried some of the things, the knowledge they brought from their own countries. So I don't really know too much about it, but I am very familiar with the stinging nettles, and I'm not sure when I learned about them, but they are very useful for making soups, and they're very healthful. And so there are a lot of plants that grow and that we have lost understanding of. I know, like, dandelions would be used for making dandelion wine, that sort of thing. But I don't have too much knowledge of what people used to do. But anyway, maybe you could tell us about your knowledge of medicinal plants that grow on your farm.
Definitely, I love to share that kind of stuff. So a lot of, like, in my mind, or as I see it, a lot of these plants is where all this medicine that we use, or medication that we call in today's world, it all comes from the plant world. All these compounds are found in plants, and then they are extracted and concentrated and made into medications in today's world. So they are still used for the medicine. And so I'd like to share some powerful medicine so that people can connect to it and understand it. So, like, a natural painkiller is a plant called kratom. And it affects the opiate receptors. And it's a plant, just a plant, that can help with so much help with pain relief, with sleep.
What is the name of that plant?
It's spelt K-R-A-T-O-M. So it has my name in it.
Okay.
I didn't put it there, though.
Okay. I've never heard
of that. That one comes from Asia. So if people want access to it, you have to order it online.
Mm-hmm.
There are some legal restrictions, not here in Canada, but in other countries for this plant. It's very, it should be more researched, and it should be more out into the public, because it is an amazing pain relieving plant that you don't become addicted to opiates from using it. It's even used to get off of other opiates, and it's been used to get people off of heroin and heavy drugs, because it takes away pain even from withdrawal syndrome.
Hmm.
So it's a very powerful and effective medicine, but it also is very safe. And as long as we don't overuse it, just like anything else, can become harmful if we overuse it.
There has to be a balance, eh?
Yes, we have to be grateful and thankful if it works and help our body improve itself, and not rely on a medication or the plant to do the work. The plant and the medication is there to help you do the work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that people used to make dandelion wine. I don't know if that was really a medication, but that's what dandelions were used to make.
Yeah, yeah, I would say that if used properly, it can be. And even ceremonial, to bring people and communities together to share in the wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a thing to be consumed. It's a thing to create.
We'll have to have a little bit of a break, but I would like to mention that you have an affinity or would agree with Laura Reeves, who wrote a very detailed book titled Guide to Useful Plants from Acorns to Zoom Sticks. And I think that you have met with Laura, and you probably share the same philosophy as she does, because I know she wrote that when she would be looking for some particular plant or herb, she learned that she had to ask permission, and then all of a sudden there they were. So there is that kind of communication that takes place, that plants do respond when you ask permission. Do you relate to that?
Definitely agree with that. And yeah, Laura Reeves, I definitely agree with her on that one. I believe too that you need to give back to nature. If you wild harvest something, if you collect something and you want to give back to nature, I find that it can be anything that you have on your body. So you can pull out a piece of hair, you can use your saliva. You just have to give something of yourself back to the land. You can sweat. You can, just as long as you're giving something in return from your physical being,
mm-hmm.
kind of how I like to operate.
Mm-hmm.
And think.
So that
I do
is,
grow tobacco as well to offer back to the plants. That's one of the plants that I really like to grow offer it back to the nature.
What plant was that?
Tobacco.
Oh, tobacco. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's often used in ceremonies too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is... thank you, Adam, for sharing all this information with us this morning. You have a lot to share and a lot to teach, and we have a lot to learn about living in a good way with nature, and that is for our own well-being and for all creation. And otherwise, we're going to be suffering the consequences, as you know, right now with this climate change. Things are happening that are just going to be affecting how people treat the land, you know. So, do you have any comment you'd like to share before we leave off?
If we have time, I have like a poem.
Okay.
Is there like a 2-minute poem or?
Yep, that would be wonderful.
Okay.
And maybe you could suggest a song.
What's that?
Maybe you could also suggest a song we could play.
Nothing's coming to mind off the top of my head.
I just want to say that you're listening to CQW 95.9 FM, and our guest today is Adam. I don't want to repeat your last name.
Daman.
And yep. I'm with co-host Yugana Shigbo. So you have a poem to read for us?
Yeah, and I might get a little emotional. Whenever I read this poem, it really connects to me. I created it as well with AI.
Hmm.
Are you good to go?
Yes.
Okay. It's time to sound the alarm. There's too much harm in farm. We farm like we're armed. We treat soil like foe. When we're only guests with so much to know, we boom and we bust, turning soil to dust. We charge at the field all grit and thrust, while the earth lies wounded, asking for trust. But what if we disarm? Still the engines raise the charm. Let the wind be our teacher, the bee our alarm. Let it fam, not farm. No more war with the wild. Let us tend like a parent, not conquer like a child. Industrial hands were gloves of control, spraying silence where life used to grow. Lines straight as lies, fields stripped bare, profits over prayer, yield over care. But the organic way listens, it waits, it hums, it moves like the moon, like lullaby spun. No engine screaming over roots, just compost cover seeds and boots. No war cries, just worms and rains and stories sung into the grains. It would look like hands, not machines, gathering harvests from roots unseen. It would look like time, not speed, sowing patience in seeds. It would look like fields, not lines, wild and woven, intertwined. It would look like song and smile, planting dreams that stretch for miles. It would look like hearts, not charts, growing together, hand in parts. It would look like soil, like not stone, where we're all part of the same home. It would look like fam, not farm. A world where love is the charm. A world where earth can breathe, and we as one finally believe. She is the mother who cradles us all. In her arms we rise, and in her soil we fall. She is the family we never left behind, feeding our roots, expanding our minds. She is the rain that kisses the thirsty ground, the dew and the grass where dreams are found. She is the warmth, the sun's embrace, the gentle touch on a child's face. She is the winds that hum through the trees, the rivers that carry the songs of the seas. She holds us close through each passing storm, her love as constant as the moon's warm form. She is the breath we share with each dawn, the rhythm of life that flows on and on. Trust her, for she is our guide. Our love is the ocean, the mountain, the tide. In her embrace, we are free. She is our family, our mother, our tree. We come from the hands of grandmothers wise, who whispered the seeds beneath open skies. They knew the dance of moon and rain. They spoke with soil. They sung through pain. They loved in the way that trees do, steady and strong and quiet and true. They passed down the knowledge like seeds in the soil. So we'd remember the land, the fruits of our toil. Now the youth rise wild and free with the roots in the past and the eyes like the sea. They walk where the elders once kneeled and prayed, planting new dreams where the old way laid. And the earth, our mother, still holds it all, every feather, every fall. Her rivers hum with the whispers of time, and the forest bloom where love left its rhyme. She cradles the stars, the sun, the rain. In her arms we raise, and in her we remain. Her soil remembers the touch of our hands, and her breath is the pulse of all lands. We are the echo. We are the flame. We are the ones who call her name from generations scarred and torn. A deeper family is being reborn.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Damon, for that poem and for all the thoughts that you, Adam, I mean, for all the thoughts that you've shared with us this morning. It's very, very inspiring. And, well, I just want to thank you. It's been wonderful talking to you. And I think maybe now we could have a song. I thought you brought up a song, Yugana, just a minute ago that might apply here.
Yeah, I have a song.
Okay.
It's Bob Marley, The Tree.
That sounds like a good selection. Okay, thank you, Adam, for joining
us
today.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome.
Again, have fun if anyone's interested.
Melodies.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Wooden Spoons on CKEW 95.9 FM. It is still 8:53 a.m. and the weather is still 13 degrees. And welcome back, Mary Jane.
Okay, now but we're running out of time. I would just like to share a recipe called a Buddha Bowl recipe. It calls for some yam toppings. You have to peel some yams, cut them in cubes, and you place on a greased cookie sheet covered with parchment paper, and you sprinkle a bit of salt and some paprika, if you desire that, and you bake it in a 325-degree oven until tender. Transfer to a bowl to cool. Then you make your beet toppings. You peel 5 or 6 beets and cut into cubes. Place in a roasting pan with a cover on and bake in the oven at 325 until tender, because or half hour or more, because it needs to steam. It is important to have a cover over the beets to allow them to steam and become tender. When cool, sprinkle with salt and a splash of lemon juice or vinegar. Then you have chickpeas that you soak overnight to soften. You drain and place in a pot and cover with water. Bring to a boil and allow to cook until the peas are tender, about 1 hour. You drain the chickpeas and save the water for soups. Always do that. And then you cut the kale. You strip the leaves off a bunch of kale, and you save the stems again for your soups. You have this leaves sliced, and you also then you have quinoa, which is a type of grain, I guess, and you rinse it in a sieve, and you cook it in a pot of 2 cups of water, and 1.5 cups of the quinoa, and you cook uncovered for about 15 minutes. You may strain if necessary and fluff with a fork and set aside. Now you assemble the ingredients and scoop a cup or more of quinoa into a serving bowl. Add a topping of cooked chickpeas and several large spoons of yams and beets. Top with sliced kale and sprinkle a tahini dressing over the ingredients. Now the dressing for the Buddha bowl, it has a lot of flavor. You need 1/4 cup of tahini, which is a sesame seed paste. I know we purchased it at DeLuca's. 3 tablespoons of water, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, 1 tablespoon of maple syrup, 1 teaspoon of toasted sesame seed oil or more, 1 small clove of garlic pressed, some sea salt, and you blend until smooth. Add a little more water to thin out the dressing to your liking. And so you can adapt that. If you don't have tahini or anything, you can just make it, a lemon oil dressing to your taste. And you sprinkle that over the Buddha bowl before serving. So that is the recipe for a Buddha bowl. We served that at the garden party, and it seemed to be very popular. So thank you for listening. I thank our guest, Adam, for joining us this morning. And thank you, Yugana, for filling in for John this morning.
For sure. You have been listening to Wooden Spoons, sponsored by Mary Jane Cooking School on CKEW 95.9 FM. If you didn't catch some of the things we were talking about today, please visit our website at www.ckew.ca. Type Wooden Spoons into the search bar, and the podcast of this show will be up in just a few hours. Until next time, this is Ugona Chibo and
Mary Jane Eason
saying bye for now, and thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Just a quick reminder, folks, there is a second Saturday soup sale at 252 Arlington. So be sure to stop on by and support Mary Jane's cooking school. And what time is it from? It's from 1 to 5 p.m. So.
Soup with tomatoes.
Okay, we're having soups again.
Yeah, we have asparagus soup, and with peas, and we're having cabbage and vegetable soup with tomatoes. We're selling these soups this Saturday from 1 to 5 p.m. or as quantities last. So, and the soups are $15 per jar, per quart. If you return your jar, it'll be $13. We hope to see you then.
Perfect. We'll see you
tomorrow.
Then.
Thanks, Uganda, for allowing this to be added to our program.
Well, for sure. It's a very important part. All right. You're still listening to CKW 95.9 FM. Come on.